This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Meeting right now the House Rules Committee to consider the Republican tax legislation. Democrats say they have plans to introduce more than 300 amendments in an effort to push back on the bill. Speaker Mike Johnson has said he wants to put it before the full House as soon as today. Five men are still on the run after escaping from a New Orleans jail. New surveillance video obtained by ABC News appears to show some of the fugitives strolling through the French Quarter. And now, a new arrest.
A maintenance worker at the New Orleans jail where 10 inmates escaped all at once, now charged with helping in the scheme. Sterling Williams accused of shutting off the water before inmates dislodged a toilet and crawled out through a hole in the wall Friday morning. A court affidavit says Williams told investigators an inmate threatened to shank him if he refused.
That's ABC's Faith Abube reporting from New Orleans. And George Wendt, who played Norm on Cheers, has died. He was 76. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When you've got a 38-year-old franchise, even the main character's kids would be too old for this. Even though it's become one of the most tired franchises ever, Lethal Weapon is giving birth yet again to sequel number 5. 69-year-old cranky Mel Gibson will direct the new flick and reprise his role as Martin Riggs, and 78-year-old Danny Glover is back as Murtaugh. Sure, this sounds really uninteresting, but before you judge, let me just say this is not your father's Lethal Weapon. Actually, it is. Speaking of part 5s, not sure Toy Story needed a 3 or 4, much less a 5, but it's happening. And it just got a little funnier, with the addition of new cast member Conan O'Brien. That's right, the former late night host and the MC of the last and next Oscars will play a character called Smarty Pants in the new chapter. Variety reports that the new film sees Buzz, Woody, and Jesse's jobs being challenged by electronics. Toy Story 5 is scheduled to hit theaters June 19th, 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home runs for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles in Milwaukee last night, 5-2. Home runs from Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Terang, and Sal Frelick.
I feel like I'm swinging it good. I mean, the home run swing, kind of just like the whole inning, how that transpired, just the guys before me. Yeah, Rhys busting out of the box on a pop-up that he gets to second on, Isaac getting him over, which then allows me to go up there and, you know, try to hit a fly ball or other at-bats. You know, that's never my credit to the other guys in the lineup.
The Brewers have now won 3 in a row and will go for the sweep. Baltimore has now lost 8 in a row, even after firing their manager over the weekend. In college football, Wisconsin, waiting to learn if some recruits will commit to playing for the Badgers next year. Defensive coordinator Jim Tressel on what he sees so far from his defensive front.
One thing I'm seeing is a lot of confidence in the defensive front's ability to be tough and difference makers. How physical they're playing, because offensive line doesn't know if they're going to get hit in the mouth or if they're going to get shook a little bit.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to an author who had her book removed from the high school where she graduated. All the details on the way. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight, we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important. And it could save your life, a lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome artist and co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, Shane McAdam. And Travel Wisconsin's senior communications specialist, Logan Rogie, talks about upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, thank you so much for your early morning rainfall reports. I think that everybody knew that we needed some rain. But anytime you want to shut the spigot off and return the warmth, I think we'd all be good with that. Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. That's the way we talk around here. It is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, thank you again this morning to our friends in Elroy. Got a message from Frank. He said he picked up an inch and a half of rain as of yesterday. Linda from Reeseville, an inch of rain. You want to chime in? Our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Anything you're noting as far as weather or what's happening in your neighborhood, we love to hear from you. We'll find out about the weather details with Stu Muck in about 15 minutes. Today, there are more showers in the forecast. Not a lot of warmth. Daytime highs today, 50 degrees with winds out of the north, about 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, just a 20% chance of rain, probably in the morning. Not a lot of sun, but we will warm up to 59. Then Friday, it looks like we turn the corner. Sunshine and 62 with drier weather on the way for some of Memorial Weekend. Anyhow, like I said, we'll find out what Stu has to say about that. Stick around. We are also talking this morning about something the beef industry is very concerned about. It's called New World Screwworm, and it is as close as Mexico, and it basically kills their beef cattle. It is, as you can imagine, a worm that gets into the system of the animal, literally kills them. And there's a sticking point. The only thing to kill the screw worm is a sterile fly exclusively found in Panama. It's something they're talking about, Washington, D.C. I'll give you a quick update on that one as we roll our way through. Speaking of what's happening in Washington, D.C., up next, production agriculture, paying attention to MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. Robert Kennedy Jr. says he wants to see the food industry change so people are healthier. But what we're concerned about is he really focusing on production agriculture? Stephanie's got a story on that next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping.
You're on Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We're expecting a Make America Healthy Again report to come out later this week, focused on tackling chronic disease. And it's got the ears of the agriculture industry. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. This morning, we're catching up with Sigrid Johannes. She's the Senior Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Sigrid says she's got her eyes on a few moving parts in D.C. For example, new products in the marketplace like lab-grown meat and new developments in nutrition guidelines. But we start with the Make America Healthy Again movement as we await those details in the upcoming MAHA Commission report.
Well, I think it's very interesting to see all of the momentum across the country that really has gone into the MAHA movement. Certainly Secretary Kennedy is the figurehead in many ways, but this speaks to an interest from a lot of Americans all across the country, people who are shopping for their families, for themselves, for their kids, people who are trying to feed school districts, and so on and so forth, who are really trying to zero in on how can we address these issues like chronic disease, heart disease, childhood obesity. I think there's a lot of issues there that do deserve a really close and critical eye. And I think it's certainly very compelling to see the strong vision that Secretary Kennedy has for the country in that regard. I think where it really comes back to us in the beef industry is making sure that everybody involved at HHS and at USDA, for that matter, is up to date on the facts about our product. Red meat often gets a bad rap, including from some folks in the MAHA community. And so we have a big education task in front of us. We're cautiously optimistic, I would say. We've certainly got receptive ears over there. We've got good partnerships with this administration, but we've really got to zero back in on what is the nutritional value of beef, what do we bring to the table as an unprocessed, lean source of protein, and luckily we have a good story to tell there.
As we look at health-conscious consumers, are they turning to beef alternatives like lab-grown meat?
It's kind of an interesting thing, I would say. On the one hand, you have a lot of animal activist groups who have always been interested in lab-grown meat. But at the end of the day, it's as processed a food as you can possibly get. I don't think there's too many folks in the MAHA world who would be happy or eager to consume something that's cultivated in a bioreactor in a lab and grown on plastic scaffolding and then sort of harvest together and glooped together to resemble a meat product. It is a really, really artificial product. It's the definition of an artificial product. It's animal cells that you're replicating in a petri dish, essentially. So hopefully not a lot of interest from the MAHA movement there, but certainly something we have to keep an eye on.
But the reason I bring this up is I'm curious how much of a market share lab-grown protein has, and how does NCBA see this substance?
So I think there's a couple answers to that. The first thing is they have a small foothold in the market, and I anticipate that will get smaller as time goes on. In the first few years that these products were being experimented with, you saw a huge injection of investment dollars from Silicon Valley, from folks in the Northeast, people in Wall Street, that kind of type. The people who we normally see funding these types of like new, sometimes strange technologies. But what you haven't seen is a whole lot of consumer demand for it. There's no place in the country where people are clamoring for this, and there's actually quite a few places that are trying to ban it at the state level. And you haven't seen a whole lot of money flowing into the sector after that initial burst. So they are losing investment dollars. Several lab-grown companies have had to lay off a lot of workers, cancel plans to build new facilities, and so on and so forth. So I think they're losing altitude as time goes on because there simply isn't a demand for this product. So that's sort of the first thing. I think this is something that's going to die down over time. But until it does, we have to make sure that the playing field is level. And that's the sort of second piece of this that's really important. Making sure that the regulatory playing field is equal for all protein products is crucial. We can't have a product like lab grown that is masquerading as real beef in the meat case and sort of taking advantage of all kinds of labeling loopholes that exist right now to pass themselves off as the real thing. Our consumers have a really strong relationship with beef. We've built up a really good reputation over time for our quality, for our taste, for our safety, for our nutrition, and that's thanks to the work of good farmers and ranchers. That's not thanks to scientists in a lab really using this sort of untested and new product. So we want to make sure that those regulations are fair, particularly when it comes to labeling, and then we'll let the free market take its course.
I don't know what RFK Jr. has up his sleeve when it comes to school nutrition or updating dietary guidelines, but NCBA has a role in underscoring that beef belongs in a healthy diet.
Absolutely. So we are in the crucial sort of final phase of the current dietary guidelines cycle. The guidelines will be finalized and out in December of this year, December 2025. The scientific report came out a few months ago in December of 2024. And the scientific report really lays the foundation. You can kind of think of it like the first round of draft recommendations for the final guidelines. One of those recommendations is harmful for beef. It's to reduce meat, poultry, and egg intake by 4 ounces per week. Our number one priority, and I would say my number one mission working for NCBA between now and December, is to get that recommendation taken out of the final guidelines. There's a lot of reasons that go into that, and it's not just because I love eating beef so much and I think it's a great product. There is very little scientific basis to indicate that consuming meat, poultry, or eggs is behind the numerous health issues that the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee pointed to when they made that recommendation. There are no studies to support their conclusion. They actually cherry-picked a lot of pro-beef or sort of supportive of beef evidence out of the process when they were working on it. This was not a transparent process. It was not a process led by facts. I think it ended up getting very politically influenced sort of at the 11th hour there. And so, it's not a recommendation that we think should be given to the American public as if it's scientific fact, because it's not. So getting that recommendation taken out is sort of task number one. Our other big priority for that process is avoiding the reclassification of beans, peas, and lentils. There's another big push in the DGAs this cycle to move those from the vegetable category to the protein category. I love a lot of things in the vegetable category, eat them every day, but they are fundamentally nutritionally different, and they offer different things to the American diet than lean meat from cattle, for example, or from pork or from chicken or any of our other animal livestock colleagues. So there is certainly a lot to be said for those products, but beans, peas, and lentils are not nutritional equivalent to lean protein from an animal. So we want to keep them where they belong, which is the vegetable category.
You know, we heard from Feeding America today that 1 in 4 children in America go hungry. Beef can be a big difference.
That's a fantastic point, Stephanie. I think in the discourse around childhood obesity, around heart disease for adults, around all of these issues that we're well aware of, it often gets missed and it gets sort of under-discussed that there are a lot of very hungry people in America, too. There are a lot of people who are food insecure. There are a lot of people who are facing nutrient deficiencies in things like zinc and iron and potassium and vitamin B12. These are the essential components that go into all of the processes in our body, all of our biological processes, from your nerves to your muscles, to healthy growth and development, aging in a healthy way, retaining muscle mass. All of those things depend on these building block vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And so when you see recommendations like cut out meat, poultry, and eggs, it's kind of like, okay, my first question is, how are you going to meet those shortfalls? How are you going to fill that gap for iron? How are you going to fill that gap for protein? Because beans, peas, and lentils don't do it. And actually, not only do they not meet that full need for those other minerals and vitamins, they do it with more calories. So now you're going over your calorie limit and you're going to have to adjust somewhere else. It just kind of puts Americans in this impossible bind.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We got to make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll be on location at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn in Dane County, talking plants and Badger Honor Flight. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
So.
Ooh, and what about temperatures? Cold in the Northwoods, I'm guessing.
Not too bad. Still about 40 tomorrow morning. Far northwest Wisconsin under the frost advisory. Park Falls, Hayward could be pretty frosty on Thursday morning.
All right. So thank you again, Frank. I said from Elroy 1.5, Stan, an inch up by Green Bay. Over an inch southeast shores of Lake Winnebago. Greg from West Bend, 1.6. Roxbury, Mitch, 1.5. Butch in Alto, 1.1. And 1.25 by north of Burnett and still raining.
Stu. Yeah, and my buddy John over here on the eastern end of Fond du Lac County, 2.25 inches, an inch and 49 up on 23 at Banner. It's been wet, low pressure, still off to the south, still providing rainfall. Maybe not as heavy, but there is rain scattering through Wisconsin, all the way from eastern Minnesota through Wisconsin, northeast Iowa into northern Illinois. And like I've said, could be up to another quarter inch or better today. So we have more rain on the way, no doubt about that. The low pressure system is just off to our south, moving into northern Illinois, and it will slowly travel east today, keeping showers in the picture, and that chance of rain may linger overnight or just into early tomorrow in far eastern Wisconsin. Then we begin to dry it out, but like I talked about, quite late tonight, very far northwest Wisconsin could be frosty. The rest of us will get cooler, certainly by late tonight, and then we start to dry it out. Sunshine returning, brightens up a little bit for Thursday and Friday. Temperatures slowly try to warm up as we head toward the weekend. Don't expect to suddenly hit 80s, but at least some 60s will be around in the weekend ahead. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage, if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Somebody said, Stu, if you want it to start raining, cut first crop. That's about the right thing to say on timing here.
That would do it, or go wash the pickup truck, one or the other. Well, let's talk about clouds and rain today and showers, some drizzle. Not going to add up to a great deal, but up to another tenth or quarter inch. Certainly a possibility today. Upper 40s in the north, low 50s elsewhere. In the north, winds about 5 to 15. Cloudy skies, rain may last into the nighttime, but should be ending. I'd expect overnight lows in the low 40s and, of course, the 30s way in the far north with the northwest winds about 5 to 10. Any rain ending? Partly sunny Thursday, upper 50s and low 60s with the north winds. And tomorrow, or I'm going to make that Friday, in the mid 60s. So it does get better toward the weekend.
Excellent. Brought to you this morning courtesy of our friends at Compure Financial. That's Stu Muck.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
News from the center, WRCE.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80 plus percent of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Meeting right now, the House Rules Committee to consider the Republican tax legislation. Democrats say they have plans to introduce more than 300 amendments in an effort to push back on the bill. Speaker Mike Johnson has said he wants to put it before the full House as soon as today. Five men are still on the run after escaping from a New Orleans jail. New surveillance video obtained by ABC News appears to show some of the fugitives strolling through the French Quarter. And now, a new arrest.
A maintenance worker at the New Orleans jail where 10 inmates escaped all at once, now charged with helping in the scheme. Sterling Williams accused of shutting off the water before inmates dislodged a toilet and crawled out through a hole in the wall Friday morning. A court affidavit says Williams told investigators an inmate threatened to shank him if he refused.
That's ABC's Faith Abube reporting from New Orleans. And George Wendt, who played Norm on Cheers, has died. He was 76. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a movie to watch, here's a Pete pick. As I might have mentioned, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning opens this weekend, so I thought I would give Dead Reckoning a rewatch, sort of a cinema stretch out before the big release. It's as good as I remembered it from 2 years ago. Cruise does battle with an AI-formed weapon called the Entity that can take on different forms. Isai Morales, Rebecca Ferguson, Haley Atwell, Simon Pegg, and Ving Rhames round out a great cast. Definitely worth a look before you head to the theater for The Final Reckoning. Singer Jessica Simpson ended her 15-year TV hiatus by performing, if not necessarily singing, on American Idol. The reviews were mostly negative, especially on social media, where everyone's a critic. Simpson belted out Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walkin' with Josh King on the season 23 finale Sunday night, and sang her new song, Blame Me, and they did. Simpson's performance was uninspired and looked unrehearsed, but at least she tried way too hard. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home runs for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles in Milwaukee last night, 5-2. Home runs from Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Tarang, and Sal Frelick.
I feel like I'm swinging it good. I mean, the home run swing, kind of just like the whole inning, how that transpired, just the guys before me. Yeah, Rhys busting out of the box on a pop-up that he gets the second on, Isaac getting him over, which then allows me to go up there and, you know, try to hit a fly ball or other at-bats. You know, that's never my credit to the other guys in the lineup.
The Brewers have now won 3 in a row and will go for the sweep. Baltimore has now lost 8 in a row, even after firing their manager over the weekend. In college football, Wisconsin waiting to learn if some recruits will commit to playing for the Badgers next year. Defensive coordinator Jim Tressel on what he see so far from his defensive front.
One thing I'm seeing is a lot of confidence in the defensive front's ability to be tough and difference makers. How physical they're playing, because the offensive line doesn't know if they're going to get hit in the mouth or if they're going to get shook a little bit.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that the point of the Doge layoffs was literally to cause federal employees trauma? The truth comes out. We discuss next at 4 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight, we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Funny.
Well, U.S. beef producers are keeping an eye on a developing situation south of the border. It's called New World Screwworm, and it's an insect that if it gets in a beef animal's body, it'll kill them flat out. And the beef producers in the United States are working at ways to actually eliminate the screwworm. But the catch is they're completely dependent on mechanisms found only in Panama. They've been talking about it in Washington, D.C. this week. I'm going to give you a snapshot on where it stands today. That's what we do. Welcome back. I'm fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. That story on the way. This, the 21st day of May. Let's see. What can I tell you? A fun one on this day back in 1985. Tony Felch from Wisconsin set the world record for the longest distance flown by a paper airplane. His plane was launched at the La Crosse Center, flew 193 feet. Happened on this day back in 1985. Congratulations, Tony. I don't know if the record still stands, but pretty cool. Also on this day back in 1932, people forget Amelia Earhart became the first woman to fly solo, nonstop, across the Atlantic. That happened on this day, 1932. I think everybody thinks about her 5 years later, an attempt to fly around the world, which obviously is still an unresolved and unsolved mystery. But Amelia Earhart became the first woman to fly solo nonstop across the Atlantic on this day, 1932. Let's see. Happy birthday today to Mr. T. Ah, boy, remember him from, I think it was the 80s. Mr. T celebrating his 73rd birthday today. Also, happy birthday to former Green Bay Packer Dorsey Levens. He turns 55. And now you know, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. And of course, toll free number to call if you're thinking about an auction or maybe just need a little bit more information. They love to talk. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. I thought maybe today, Ashley, we could focus in a little bit on what's hot these days. I think that some farmers, maybe those thinking about auctions in the future, might be a little apprehensive. The uncertainty about commodity prices, etc. You guys are on the cutting edge of trends. What did you see, for example, in April that catches your eye?
Yeah, truly. So, you know, everybody's hearing rumors of, you know, the sky is falling and things like that. But actually, the machinery market's been hanging in very well. If you're on our website, you can take a look. We posted the top 10 items that sold last month. So, you know, just looking at, we sold a pair of quad tracks, for instance. One was a 2012 with about 2,000 hours on, and a smaller one, and then a 500 quad track that was a 2017. And kind of a big price difference between them. The 2017 brought $465,000, and the older one, the smaller one, brought $240,000. So kind of a big price difference, but they made a lot of changes in those years, and it just kind of shows you where the trend is going,
right,
for the higher horsepower tractors as well.
And volume as far as internet interest, still high, Ashley?
Yeah, it really is. You know, we marketing people always keep track of how many people show up to an online auction. We're still seeing record numbers. We're gaining more around the whole country as people look to, you know, try and find a bargain. We're seeing more people show up to the auction.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about the Steffes Group, and again, Ashley Hewins along with us from the Steffes Group, take a look at that website. Not only will you see individual items, you will also see these articles that give you insight into what the Steffes Group sees as a group. That's STEFFES group.com. And remember, if you've got a question about a piece of equipment or you want to get your own auction started, 800-726-8609. And when I say the audience you draw, Ashley, it is not limited to the Midwest. I mean, literally anybody with access to the internet can be a part of the shopping dynamic.
Yeah, truly. I mean, it's so easy to sign up on our website. It takes about 5 minutes to make an account, and you're off to the races. We don't require credit cards or bank account information until you get something bought.
And now we talked about the top 10 individual items. I think a lot of people also wondering, are you seeing anything that makes you nervous as far as real estate values, Ashley?
No. Real estate has been really, really steady. You know, we're not making new highs like we were a year ago where every sale is just more and more and more. It's really steady, but because there's still such a little volume of land being sold, we're still seeing a lot of number of buyers show up.
I'll tell you what, folks, if you're thinking about an auction, be it individual item or an entire estate, start your conversation with the Steffes Group. At least you owe yourself that much. This is your livelihood. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Have the conversation with the Steffes Group. How do you get started? Find out online, STEFFES group.com, or pick up the phone. Give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewin along with us from the Steffes Group.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage, if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to 183.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter at 190. The AA butter unchanged. On a Wednesday morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 17 cents right now at 19.12. July's up 8, 19.11. In overnight trade, July corn's down just a half. December new crop up a penny, 4.50. July soybeans are up a nickel with November new crop up a nickel at 10.46. July wheat right now up a penny and a half, 5.47 a bushel. Keep an eye on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's currently more than 300 points lower in overnight trade. Coming up next, talking with Terry Quam from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. He is now the Secretary Treasurer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and a longtime beef producer from the Lodi area. Where are your beef checkoff dollars being invested and why? We're going to find out.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Since 2005, the state of Indiana allowed voting-eligible students to use their student IDs to vote. April 16th, Governor Mike Braun signed SB 10, which included banning the use of student photo IDs for voting without any evidence of misuse. That law is headed to court. The bill's sponsor said in a January statement, "There has been a growing concern about election security in recent years, and it is our role to ensure our voter identification process is secure and accurate." There are over 436,000 college students in Indiana and additional voting-eligible high school students. In Bloomington, home to Indiana University, two-thirds of student voters use their student ID to vote. The Conservative Heritage Foundation's own voter fraud website shows only 59 voter fraud convictions of any kind since 2003, none of which appear to be student voters, though ironically, one conviction was a former Indiana Secretary of State. The Indianapolis Capital Chronicle reports that Count Us In and Women for Change Indiana brought suit in U.S. District Court, calling the law a, quote, surgical attack on young voters and charging the law violates both First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights by creating a burden without justification. We have links to the suit and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talked to an author who had her book removed from the high school where she graduated. All the details on the way. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Today we want to talk a little bit about something you may not know, the history of the checkoff, the work that's being done that's both visible to the general public and going on behind the scenes with research and development. Terry, how long have you been, now, a little while, on the Cattlemen's Beef Board?
Well, this is my fourth year on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, and It's a board that you can do anything you want with. It's a very inviting board. It's probably the most inviting staff and board that I've ever been on. They want you to get involved. They want you to become successful. They want you to go back to your state and champion the beef product and promote our industry. And so it's an industry to me that's been very, very inviting, very good for me, and it's helped me to meet a lot of good cattle producers, both dairy and beef, all across this country, and some of the foreign visitors that come into our industry.
Right. And the thing that people have to understand is the history of the Cattlemen's Beef was all about making sure that beef was top of mind when it came to protein selection and digging deeper on what makes beef the quality product that it is, what consumers are looking for. Research, education, and promotion, the key components.
Yeah, and if you go back to 1979, when the very first thought of having a beef checkoff started, it was a group of people that looked at our industry and said, we're in deep trouble. And we were. You look at the late 70s, early 80s, our industry was floundering. We were losing consumption. We were losing demand. Our producers were not profitable. And if you look at sustainability, the beef industry is probably one of the most sustainable industries out there. But one of the key components of sustainability is the producer has to be profitable. You have to be able to make a living to pass that generation down to the next generation. And so we had a very invigorated group of individuals from across the United States get together and say, we need to fix this. And they said, it's got to be done by producers. And that's how the beef checkoff started. They got together. It took three referendums to get a final vote that passed the industry. And the last one in 1984, when it passed, has been what we've been dealing with ever since the checkoff started. But basically, the checkoff was started because we had producers go, if we're going to help, if our industry is going to get turned around, get profitable, and we're going to get consumption on the right path, and we're going to get the quality that we need for our consumers to eat, it's got to be the producers to do it, and we've got to head this program ourselves.
Now, research, education, promotion, the key components. What area do you find yourself most drawn to, Terry? I know you've traveled internationally sharing the news about U.S. Wisconsin beef production with others. It's an eye-opening experience to realize how important those stories, those messages, and that science really is.
I like it all. I've been on three different committees. I've been on the International Marketing Committee. Right now, I've been on consumer side of things on the committee there. Right now, I'm on producer communications. Right now, I'm focusing on producer communications because we need to get all producers. What people don't realize is we've got a whole generation of people coming onto the farms and ranches that didn't know why the checkoff was started, didn't know the troubles that we had back in the 70s and 80s, the fact that we had consumers going away from us, going to other proteins. And now you look at what we've got today, even with the highest prices that we've ever had in the industry, we are consuming every ounce of beef that we're raising domestically and every pound of beef we're bringing in internationally through imports. That is a testament to what the producer's dollar has done for them in building the confidence and the education into these consumers that beef is the protein of choice.
Well, and despite the fact that the world has question marks about what that beef's going to cost them with tariffs and everything else, it's still flowing.
What people don't realize is we are the country of grain-fed beef. We promote beef. Beef is what we promote. We don't specialize in anything. We don't do any branded products unless it is a special program that grocers and a state would come to us and want to do. Mm-hmm. We promote beef. Beef is what we promote, all beef. All beef is good. All beef is nutritious. And that's the message we take around. If you look at the countries that are buying our product now, they're buying a lot of products that we do not consume in this country. And they're taking them and they're adding value to our animals. If we did not get them exported into countries, and Peru is a great example, they are the biggest consumer of our livers. Why do they want our livers? Because they have an anemia problem in their children. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at it. We need to fix this problem. We don't eat a lot of liver in this country anymore. And so if we can add $40 to $50 for that liver on going to Peru, that's money that did not go into a rendering program and get us zero value or a negative value. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got to look at when you're marketing our beef today, that animal is broken down into so many pieces. And the research we do with that dollar checkoff is to where can we find every half pound of that product, where can we put it, where can we market it, where can we use it, where can we highlight it to get the producer the most bang for their buck.
You mentioned at the outset, again, Terry Quam along with us, Marta Angus, he's a Wisconsin beef producer that sits on the Cattlemen's Beef Board. You mentioned at the outset that there's generations of producers now that don't realize the troubles that the beef industry faced at the end of the 70s, early 80s. Now we're in pretty good times, but we all know things change. So how do you see the Cattlemen's Beef Board ensuring that as trends change, as we get more cattle back on U.S. grass and feedlots and our beef production starts to come back more and more, what is CBB doing to make sure that that demand for beef domestically and internationally stays strong and that those markets that those young producers may be counting on today remain in place in the future?
It's all about a unified, balanced approach to how you market this product. When we look at the dollar checkoff, we try to make sure every research, every area goes gets funding, because we've got to do the research. We got to know how to break those carcasses down. We've got to do our food safety research so we can keep the consumer confidence that they know they're getting the highest quality product out there and the safest quality product out there. We've got to do the consumer information. But one of the things that producers don't see, and I'm old enough, I was there when the cow that stole Christmas.
Ah, yes.
Way back in 2004.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't realize that through the checkoff, we had a program for that issue already laid out. And the next morning after that was announced on Tuesday, on Wednesday morning, on my door was a 3-inch binder full of information on how to deal with this problem.
Yeah.
And the fact that having that all done, prepared, ready to go for every state to talk about and drill down to the public, we were able to hold our confidence that year and actually gain 2 points of confidence because the airways hit us so hard. But we had the information, and that was information that was prepared by a checkoff person and done and taken care of so that everybody, it's behind the scenes where nobody sees it, and we are handling that on every disease, every problem out there that we think could arise, and that's our, that's part of your dollar.
You never know what you might encounter coming up next year, next week for that matter, but the Cattlemen's Beef Board investing your checkoff dollars to try to help mitigate some of those challenges. Terry Quam, one of the board members that sits on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, representing not only Wisconsin beef, but all beef producers, not just here, but literally, quite honestly, around the world. Our thanks to Equity Co-op for bringing us Checkoff Chats today, featuring Terry Quam from Lodi and Marta Angus. You can find out more about them, equitycoop.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. News from the Center, WRCE.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
How to protect against cattle thieves, next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. There was a time when horse thievery and cattle rustling was a hanging offense. Not today, but high beef prices have caused an uptick in cattle theft. Here's Scarlett Madinger of the Kansas Livestock Association with some prevention tips.
First and foremost, brand your cattle. That's going to be the most permanent, surefire way to positively identify those cattle. If they're trying to sell them at a regional auction market, somebody is most likely to recognize that brand, maybe know that, hey, that isn't who dropped them off. Also, ear notching can help. That's another permanent identifier.
Madinger says don't make it easy for thieves to get at your livestock.
restrict access to your pens, your pastures, other property as much as possible. I know that can be difficult, but anything that causes someone to take an extra step, you know, somebody that's looking to steal cattle, it serves as a deterrent. And so if you can keep those gates locked, chain your loading facilities.
Also says Matinger, keep an eye on traffic near your farm or ranch.
Just be observant. Take note of any suspicious vehicles in the area, especially around your pastures.
Tomorrow, you'll meet a former rancher who became a crime fighter. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome artist and co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, Shane McAdam. And Travel Wisconsin's senior communication specialist, Logan Rogie, talks about upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matinee on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matinee on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Right now, the House of Representatives is hours into a hearing on the GOP tax plan in a rare overnight session. So far, 537 amendments have been submitted from both Republicans and Democrats to this reconciliation package. A full House vote could happen later today. President Trump is moving forward with plans for a so-called Golden Dome missile defense system to protect the U.S. Though questions remain about the cost and the technology. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio reports from Washington.
The defense secretary says the system will take shape in phases, prioritizing defense where threats are greatest. President Trump claims the Golden Dome should be fully operational in 3 years. The Pentagon estimates the system would cost more than $175 billion, but the Congressional Budget Office says it could cost up to $542 billion.
He's best known for playing Norm on the long-running sitcom Cheers. Comedian George Wendt has passed away. He was 76. This is ABC News.